Thank you. So what I'm going to talk about is a resource that at a university is the most important thing that's out there, okay? And to give you a background of this particular problem we faced and how we were asked to look into it, I want to give you a little background about universities. And what I'm going to start with is, just like Bart, I'm going to have quotes from very famous philosophers, okay? That'll give you an idea about how universities are organized and run and what they care about. So the first philosopher I'm going to quote comes from his speech when he became president of the University of California system. He was the chancellor of the University of California, Berkeley, before he became the president. And here are some of his quotes, the first two. First one is, "Few institutions are so conservative as universities are about their own affairs, while their members are so liberal, and not in a classical sense, about the affairs of others." So they're going to tell you what you should be doing. This is pretty cool, because this is a guy in his speech of accepting to be president tells this to his. Here's this other one I love, which tells you the problem we're faced here, is the chancellor's job has come to be defined as providing parking for the faculty, sex for students, and athletics for alumni. Yeah. And then the great philosopher of parking, he's a professor at the at UCLA, who is the world-renowned expert in parking. His name is Don Shoup. He's actually known as the rock star of parking, or as he calls himself, Shoup Dog. And here's a quote that, when I read his paper, almost fell over when we were first getting into this. Here it is. "If UCLA is an ivory tower, the parking service is its moat." Okay. And okay. So now I'm going to start with some stuff about a little background on how universities dealt with parking. But more importantly, I want to tell you how important parking is. And so this is how parking is allocated. Here's a great quote here. After Rudy Marcus won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1992, a colleague saw his name on the reserve space outside his office. Marcus remarked to him, "Well, the Nobel Prize has to be worth something." Okay, so this is how universities started this parking. They, you know, it's pretty easy. Let's do average cost pricing. We figure out how much it is to, you know, create a parking lot, you know, find out the amortized cost of it, and then we post the price. We're not worried about supply and demand. We're just trying to figure out how to maybe raise some money. The problem with this, especially at UCLA, was that as they were building these parking areas further and further away from campus, they were getting more and more expensive. So being further away from campus cost you more than being right there on campus by average cost pricing. And so there were waiting lists for being in the lots that were closer in, and they didn't know what to do. So they started, well, let's do lotteries. But that didn't, lottery, that sounds too much like gambling. So they did point systems. And point systems were, you got to choose which parking lot you're in, and we'll charge all the same price based on how far away you are from campus. So people that are further away from campus, when you drive in, we'll let you come closer, so that people who are closer, you could get them to walk or something like that. Here's a quote from Bob Hope. "It takes 4 years to get through UCLA, or five if you park in lot 32. you know, students, they're not very bright, you know. And so they really didn't know what to do here, except they figured out how to game the system. Because a lot of them had parents who lived in California, and that's the address they would put down. So people who lived right next to campus were getting the closest parking, because they put down the address of their parents in San Francisco. You know, and so when they did this, they were all this gaming, and they said, "Oh, we can't do this." Okay. So what they started to do is, okay, we know that these are very, very important spaces, and so we'll just start having tiered prices. So the closer in, we're actually going to raise the price. Makes sense. Well, what price do you charge? We'll just move the prices around willy-nilly. And then everybody wanted their own special lot because we're different. Okay? So the fee structure started with hunting licenses, you know, closer in and so forth. And then Shoopdog has a great quote in his paper. Parking hierarchies make the Titanic look like a one-class ship. It's like 75 different pricing classes within the UCLA system. And Don is actually very clever and has actually done it for cities, but he is looking at letting all the prices do the planning. So prices are things that should be moving based on congestion and so forth. And we thought that was a really great idea. And we started to push this. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about the background at Chapman, which is true of virtually any university. And that is, parking always ranks low on faculty, staff, and student satisfaction. So these are always the lowest. You'll see here that it had a hit a thermal here when they added 1,000 spaces right under the football stadium that's right on campus. So everybody got happy, but then, of course, everybody went into that particular lot, and then, of course, it got worse and worse and worse. This is always down here. This is on a 5-point scale, and usually everything is 4.5 and above, except for parking and lately internet. It can never be fast enough for students. The president of the university knew that we designed systems for allocating stuff, and he said, can you help us solve this? And we said, well, we're never, I don't think, going to solve this because, you know, parking is not, come on, nobody likes it, they'll never like it. They're paying for it, you know. It's not the greatest position to put us in. But we figured we would look at the campus, okay? So this is what the campus looks like. And so you'll see there's lots of these lots around campus here. What we did find out is, there's one way to fix that problem with, if you really care deeply about getting high ratings on parking, just build more spaces. But it turns out that you're going to have to go underground in Orange because of rules there. That costs about $30,000 for each parking spot that you would create for a 500 slot place. So it's pretty darn expensive. So the president thought, well, maybe it would be easier if we ran some market here that would help us, you know, not build these things and allocate the spaces we do have to those who value it the most. Of course, our president is a graduate from the University of Chicago in economics, so he believes you should do this. His faculty, staff, and students may not be as happy about that sort of thing. But anyway, that's what we did. So here it is. there we are. That's our ship. We're riding, going right into the solved parking. the conclusion from the parking data we looked at was, number one, there are a sufficient number of parking stalls today to handle what's going on. Not a problem, turns out. The problem is that there's not enough convenient parking, which means everybody would like to be close. So that seems easy. We'll just price those things and at least get moving in that direction. But there's trouble lurking big time, is that enrollments are increasing and the number of people who are going into the residence halls there is increasing, but they don't have any parking spots there, so they're spilling over into the good stuff. And so somehow this needs to be solved, or, you know, the pitchforks will be coming out. Okay, so here we are when we started. We're thrown in the middle of this one. So what we did is we used what is known as a Dutch auction or a descending price auction. The reason for this is several things. We wanted to try it, for one. It's good guys like that. But you don't need to attend the auction. If the auction is going in the opposite direction, you have to always be in and you have to figure out when you're going to get out. Here, you just need to figure out when you're in. So it's a much easier task, and you're informed when the prices are moving, sends you a notice if you want, and so forth. Or you can just type in the highest price you would stop the clock at, so you don't have to be involved in if you don't want to, okay? The question was, what information do we provide them? Do you tell them how many participants I've logged in? So this is where we started. We were going to go from large scale. We had this big idea of what we were going to do. So it was myself, Steve Rossini, my colleague, who sort of came up with most of the basic ideas, and then Ryan French, who is a software engineer with in our group, who actually helped put the whole thing together. So I did nothing, I think. Okay, so initially, we were going to start with six tiers. We were going to have reserved. So reserved means you get to choose exactly where you park, and that's your parking spot. It's got your number on it, and nobody else can park there. That's sort of like knighthood. There's Lassinger, that's the one that's underneath the football field, very wanted. Barrera is the one next to the law school. It's covered, you know. Then there's regular. Those are the other places. And then there's value lots, which are the furthest ones out. And then we have free, okay? So we reduced it down to three auctions, which was reserved, Lassinger, and Barrera, because those were the ones that people would like. And then finally, we went with reserved. We did the ground level arduous, which is really a nice lot. And then we did the free lot auction just this fall, okay? So I'm going to tell you about the reserve auction. Before we did the reserve auction, they had 50 permits at $552 each. And what's that?
Is that for 1 year?
That's for 1 year, yes, thank you. And faculty and staff were the only ones that could participate, and it was a waiting list. It was just a fixed price, okay? Once you own it, you get to keep it, you know, again, and at this old price, okay? So, in 2009, we said, no, we're going to offer 58 of these permits. That number was after great scientific discovery. And we ran the auction, and we allowed faculty, staff, and students to actually participate. And so here's the 2009-2010. This is the blue line. These are the actual where the clock was stopped, as the price was falling where it was stopped, and these other ones where they're beyond where it stopped were actually ones that were typed in. Somebody had put in their proxy, I'll stop it if it gets to that. So this is where we get this curve from. We did 58 permits at $630, so the revenue went up, but of those 58, 21 were students that never got a reserve spot. Now the students were, those people who got the reserve spots, kind of happy. You know, nice. Guess who was not happy? Those guys that were getting it nice. Okay. And then you can see here, we upped it to 65 permits. We got to 650 per revenue increasing. So you can see they stopped it a little bit right here. And you can see it's all above. So demand, people are starting to find out about this reserve and the quality of it. So those are the two auctions we've done there. Does everybody understand this? Okay, great. So here's the arduous auction results. These are done by semester. So in the fall of 2009, we had 130 permits available. There was lots of talk on campus about how this is elitist and people shouldn't participate because prices will be really high. Well, it turns out that we sold 123 permits at exactly the permit price for being in Lassinger. So the actual premium was zero. So this elitist, poor people can't get in, the price was zero. Kind of hard to give a story about that one. So, yes, thank you. that helped us because then we could say, well, you mean you wouldn't play nothing to get this one here? Anyway, you can see this is fall, and then you can see all of a sudden, it's really nice to be in arduous, and so they dropped this, let's not participate, and now we have lots of demand for arduous. It stopped after the fall of 2010 up here, these higher ones, because they had to use that parking lot because we're always growing at Chapman. They're building onto the forum, so that we're not able to do the auction in the spring. We're probably not going to be able to do it in the fall. Not sure when it's going to happen, but that's the reason why that's not on there. So you can see, we also learned a little bit, we added more permits because there was always spots available. So going along with Don Shoup, we decided, well, you know, there was like, even at the peak, there were always 10 or 15 spots open, so we just added more. And here's the free lot. So in order to stop anybody who says, well, hold it, there's a problem, how about poor people or something like that, wherever. And this is, talk about Chapman, I'm not sure where those guys are, but anyway. What we did is there was $50 was the highest for an annual permit, okay, to be in this free lot, which is three blocks away, okay? And then it would go down from that. So it started at 50, and at 50, this is the number of people that stopped it, and then it just kept going down and stopped at a price of 16 for the 100 permits being sold. That's for a whole year, okay? The standard one is 270. Needless to say, everybody who is part of ESI got one of these. So everybody put their bid in, there you go. These are a lot of, there's me, by the way, if you're wondering. I don't mind walking three blocks. And okay, so that sort of gives you a structure of this. So here we are. Here's the new facilities costs, which are very expensive. And then you have the barbarians at the gate here, the entitlement people, okay? So that's the challenge that the administration faces that we need to help them with as we go on. So here we go. This is another great quote from a philosopher. The faculty is a group of people who think otherwise. And they're my favorites. And so after we ran this thing for a year, they brought in to focus groups, which no students showed up really. I think they had two students total, but the faculty were there wanting to be in the focus group so that their concerns would be put out. And so here are the concerns of the faculty, which I love. These are great philosophers at Chapman. One, as a new faculty member, I'm already concerned I will not get any special consideration in finding a spot. I don't mind walking a distance, and that's not true, to get my classes, but I would think faculty should have some priority in getting a parking spot. Okay, there they are. They're coming out. And so they did get their little red spot over there. They have 20 spots for faculty, which doesn't amount to very much, but they feel like they're now entitled. 20 spots for, 900 people or something. Anyway, students as customers. As a full-time faculty member, I'm greatly disappointed with the decision to eliminate faculty-designated parking. I appreciate that students' tuition is a major monetary driving force as our customers. However, it's obviously especially critical for faculty to arrive on time on classes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, I can solve that problem for you. Show up a little bit early and walk, okay? Here's one, outbid by students. The auction is really serious stuff to some people. We are not bidding for a prize. We are bidding on something really important to the quality of our lives. That tells you about parking. I just want to feel like this was done fairly and equitably. I am really going into this knowing I'm going to be outbid by my students. Yeah. Okay, you're cheap. We figured that out. Okay. And here is the one. I didn't put the person. It's actually a quote from the newspaper, the student newspaper there, from a professor in philosophy. This one's good. You're going to like. The analogy might show that there's maybe something inherently unfair with making your income determining whether you get something that is generally in society available at a set fee. Where did it? Anybody want to help me with that one? Okay. So here we are at the next stage. So here we are, recommendation stage. So I think we're damned if we do is where we're standing now. Okay. So here we want to expand the auctions, but we want to do it in an intelligent way because there's an issue here that's really looming. Okay, so here's the most wanted garage. It's the one on campus underneath the football field. Okay, you walk right outside and you're up on campus and ready to go. So there's a peak here during 10 to 2 o'clock most of the days. Here's the Barrera one. There's never a peak there, really. There's over 100 spots even at the peak. They're at the very top of Barrera, which is not covered. And you have to go over all these bumps and you ruin your car, so nobody really wants to be there. But there is parking available here. But this is where the action's at in Lassinger. That's where everybody wants to be. They're just wasting time trying to find a spot during this time. What's cool is you'll notice here there's a peak. Okay. Notice that at this time of the morning, right here before 10, not a problem. But in here is the problem. Now, why is this a problem? Can anybody just, off the top of your head, why do you think this occurs? All the classes are at that time. And they blame it on the students. No, why are the classes all at that time? Let me go back for you just a second here. This one right here, I want to arrive on time. I want to arrive at 10. So all these classes are at 10 o'clock, and therefore, you know, students don't even get a chance to do an 8 o'clock class because there's not that many offered. Okay. So here it is. Here's the phase we're at. So population is growing. Garage parking is near capacity at the peak. And classroom utilization at the peak is 100%. Okay. So either you're going to have to reduce the peak, or you're going to have to build more facilities, or you're really going to have to raise the prices. That's your choice, to get people out of their cars. So the conclusion of this is very simple, is one, we're the only people doing this, and it may mean because we're stupid, or we're innovative. You can take your pick on that one. We're still just moving slowly in the auction phase because we want to move to secondary markets. We want to move to moving to Lassinger, which is a little bit harder to do because, as you'll see from the peak, what you'd like to do and what we want to do in that, when we have the gates and everything, is that you can buy the day of the week, or you can have morning or afternoon or something like that to better utilize. So the problem we have here is, you know, to say, it's very easy to say the following, and we'd all clap. We'd say, this is easy. Just have price solve supply and demand. Well, supply and demand isn't something that's static here. It's throughout the day. So the prices have to change throughout the day. So unless you're willing to go with pricing real time, you know, sent to your phone saying, well, the price that you're parking at is going up right now. I could just see us really doing that one, either move or whatever, is that to actually start intelligently using the spaces you have so that if it really is at peak and you want Tuesday, Thursday, you're going to have to outbid people who want Tuesday, Thursday at 10. Okay, and then you can sell spots, or you can get the spot market. If you didn't buy and you need to come in on Tuesday, you can buy somebody else's. That's really what we're looking down the road. But the thing that's most important to solve this problem is that these entitlements are pretty hard to reverse, but they're going to have to be, and that the prices are not just going to have to deal with parking, they're have to going to deal with class scheduling. So we're going to have people not schedule at 10 and move it earlier. And the people who are willing to move their classes earlier and coordinate those schedules should be paid, should have a benefit given to them, and the prices for the 10 o'clock ought to rise. In other words, the guys who want to teach at that time can transfer money to the guys who are willing to do it in the morning, and you'll see, I know my faculty very well, they're cheap. $10 would get them to move to 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move intelligently doing this. What the university spent a long time doing is putting in all these gates. So we know exactly when people come in, so you can actually do by time of day, and you can transfer your transponder number to somebody else for the day, you know, and change that software-wise is not a big deal. But doing this is going to require gradually letting the faculty yell and then just do what you want.